You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I got my good friend on today to answer the toughest question you get all the time. It happens every day in your office. A patient comes up to the front or says on the phone, how much will my insurance cover? And I've got answers to your toughest question from my good friend, Laura Hatch. So don't miss this. Grab a pen, hit the share button. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. And I just got to say this, thank you so much for watching. We are having so much fun and we've got audience members and people viewing this from all over the world. And I'm getting so much feedback and so many good questions, things that you guys want to see on the program. And I really value that feedback. And today is no exception. So we're taking a lot of this feedback and making it happen. And we're going to answer one of the toughest questions you get all day long. We're going to give you specific answers to those questions. Now, couple show notes before we start. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So please ask your questions as questions come up, because I've got the expert on today for the question that we're going to be talking about. Ask the question right in the feed and I'm going to ask Laura directly and we're going to get the answer straight from her. And even if you're watching this live, we're watching the metrics on this. Some people are watching this at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever you're doing. Even if you have a question at that time, type the question in there and Laura is awesome. She will get back to you and answer the question specifically, because we want you guys to get answers the toughest things you see all day in your practice. The other thing is, we love these questions so much that we've created what's called Gratitude Mondays. So I'm just so grateful for the questions. We're giving away a free Apple iWatch on every Monday for the best question asked every week on any show. And we've got a ton of them already this week and 2 tickets to Activate, which is our practice growth seminar. So please ask a good question. And so my good friend, Laura Hatch. Now, before Laura talks, I'm going to talk about her. Laura and I met probably about 6-7 months ago, officially. I'd heard about you from Linda Miles. Linda said, just, you got to talk to this. You got to find out about who this front office rocks woman is. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I started watching a few videos and I thought to myself, these are so good, because all the details and the mechanics of what happens in dental practice, she gives great light, great insight, and great answers to them. And I thought, I got to get to know her. So I got a chance to meet you at the ADMC. And you're talking about practice on fire. We were talking about that. I want to talk about Laura on fire, man. You are like everywhere. I mean, I'm watching people watch your videos on videos of you. And it's just awesome. So if no one has heard of Laura Hatch, who is Laura Hatch and what is Front Office Rocks?
Well, thank you, Kirk, and congratulations on the show. I actually heard beforehand, this is show number 30, I think, right? Yes. You started this a month ago, so this is amazing. I love watching these live. I think there's something about it being live which makes it more fun. I'm a dental office manager wife. I met a guy in undergrad and helped him start 2 scratch practices. And you mentioned Linda Miles. When back in the day when I started, there was no training, there was no internet. There was no videos. There was no classes. You know, you would just go to the seminars and see the big speakers. And I remember seeing Linda Miles thinking, oh, I wanted to be like her, you know. Right. So we've had a practice on the East Coast and a practice on the West Coast. I've done an open a scratch practice in a good economy and a bad economy. Not as much competition, a lot of competition. So I've had a lot of experiences of growing two dental offices. And so I started Front Office Rocks a few years ago as being a resource for dental teams, because a lot of times, and it's great that you have courses like this or live interviews like this, but the doctor goes back to the team and says, okay, I want you to do ABC. And the front office team's like, how? I don't know how. Patients are standing in front of me. So I'm all about trying to help the team with the nitty gritty, like you said, the details of how do we get what our doctors want when we're working at the front desk.
Yeah. And you're pretty unique too, because you're not one of those speakers that doesn't really see this or tells it from a, you know, a hypothetical standpoint. You run the show. You're in the trenches. You get these questions, and you're married to a dentist, and you got to listen to all this stuff later on. You still have the team issues you deal with. So it's like you go and teach people, and then you come back to it, and you're in the think tank or in the petri dish yourself, doing all the tests to see what really works.
And I love it. I mean, granted, I'm swamped because I'm running the office on the road, speaking, training, and all of that. But if I can't implement it in my office, I don't talk about it. You know, I deal with this stuff. There's a lot of great ideas out there, but implementation is the hard part. So anything that I talk about, I'm either trying to fix in my practice. I mean, one of the things we're working on right now is reactivation, you know, new patients and marketing. If I'm doing it in my office, then I can speak to it better when I'm talking to clients and when I'm speaking. I think sometimes we get a little out of touch if we're out of the office, and I want to stay in the office, help my husband run his practice, but then also share kind of best practices of what we do in our office.
Yeah. And you've got a whole online university and training system, which we'll talk about a little bit, but I want to go into this because I get this question all the time. So many people ask this question consistently, and I know you get this question a lot.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, not just from other dentists, but in your practice. I mean, honestly, how many times a day do you hear this particular question, which is the hardest question, is how much will my insurance cover? How many times a day do you get that
question? Oh my God, every patient, in a sense. I mean, honestly, every patient, when the doctor presents treatment, the patient goes like this. Yeah, doc, that sounds great. You know, that's what I want to do that. But a patient thinks the insurance is going to cover 100% and they're not. And then we have to deal with, well, how much is my insurance going to cover? Or if I hear one more time, you know, I only want to do what my insurance covers. You know, that's what we're up against all the time in the dental office. And we all hear it, and we have to understand why the patients ask it and then how we need to respond to it.
Yeah. Now let's piggyback right on that, because you and I are on the same page. You're very big in helping the team understand the why before we get into the how. Now, because you've been doing this a long time, because you can teach a team member how to do things. Yep. But if they understand why the patient asks this, so why does the patient ask this in the first time? And why is this such an important subject for team members to get?
Right. And you and I talked about this when it came to the first phone call and our last talk. So if you haven't watch that one, because we talk about the same thing. Patients, they don't know much about their dental needs, not like we do, right? Patients know their pocketbook and they know their insurance book. They know they're supposed to brush their teeth twice a day. They know they're supposed to come to the dentist every 6 months. Some of them, most of them know. Now they don't have to floss because the news has told them flossing's out, right?
Right.
I mean, this is what they know. And they believe their insurance is going to cover it all. And so when they shake their head and say, yeah, I want to do it all. I want to do it all, doc. And then they find out the insurance isn't covering it all, it's a surprise to them. They really believe it's going to cover it all. And we need to understand that when they're asking these questions of what's my insurance going to cover, or I only want to do what my insurance covers. And we need to balance helping them understand how insurance works and what our motivation is as a team. Are we here to work for the insurance company, or are we here to take care of our patients? So when the patient asks these questions about insurance, I personally like them because I know that the patient is in the buying cycle. They're actually considering the dentistry much more than somebody just sits there and goes, yep, 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 well, I'll call you, because that person's not actually considering it. So when a person's talking about insurance and money and questions, that means the person's considering it. And then we're, you know, now we just need to help them through these questions so they make the decision to get the dentistry done.
Right, right. So walk us through this. Now, I would say this probably before we get started. It's crazy important to sit down with your team and talk about this as a team. Wouldn't you agree? So yeah. That we are communicating with a lot of clarity, because you're going to get these questions. You know, everybody thinks it's limited to the front, but you're going to get questions in the back. I mean, you're going to get it all over the place. So I would say number one is let us as a team get super clear in every department about what this is and what do we do. So how do you start with this? Well, if I'm a young dentist watching this, where do I start?
I talk a lot about this when I speak. I believe in our industry, we have been beaten up by patients and insurance so much that we have become, when I talk about this, I talk about being insurance savvy versus insurance driven, right? Because we always say our patients are insurance, you know, they're all about insurance. Well, let's take a look inside first. Let's look at our practice and say, well, are we being insurance driven? Because we need to understand insurance. We need to know their deductibles and their copays and their, you know, their maximums and what they down. We need to know that. That's no question. But when you first start out, you're like, you know, you open a practice, you're like, I'm going to rid the world of cavities and gum disease. This will be amazing. Right. And then over time, insurance starts downgrading. Patients get mad. They only want to do what the insurance covers. And then pretty soon, we become insurance driven.
Right.
And when I talk about that with staff, I say, here's how you know you're insurance driven. If you have a new patient in the schedule and you hear yourself say, that's awesome, we have a new patient. What insurance do they have?
Oh,
you're insurance driven. Because you're not even like, why are they calling? And did they move here? And how do they hear about us? We're going right to insurance. And it's kind of like, yeah, they have an executive plan. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Or they have whatever, right? Or if the doctor's going to diagnose treatment and they say, I need to put a treatment plan together. How much do they have remaining? That shouldn't matter, right?
Right.
What the patient needs, the patient needs. So as a team, we actually have to have, I like to say it's a paradigm shift. We have to change the way we think about insurance in our practice, because we sort of set that up as the, you know, the communication, the crutch between us and the patient, you know?
Right.
When you're answering the phone and you're like, what insurance do you have? First question, you're setting up this relationship that insurance is important. So when we go to do the case acceptance or the treatment plan, when patients say, well, what does my insurance cover? We've sort of started that relationship that way with a patient. So that's where I would start with the team is, let's put it in perspective. Who do we work for? We work for patients. We work for our doc. We work for the best interest. Does the insurance company look out for the best interest of our patients? No, right? And so let's get our culture and our philosophy and systems in line with really taking care of the patients. Then we can learn the verbal skills we need to talk to the patients about their insurance.
Right. And I'm so glad you said that, because that's key, because, you know, and you get to see this all the time. The more you make it an issue, the more the patients will make it an issue. I can't even count how many great restorative practices I've been to. A dentist will say, you know what, we need more new patients, and insurance is such a bad thing in our area and it controls our. And then when you sit at the front, the person who answers the phone will say the word insurance five to six times in a new patient telephone call. And I'm thinking, if I don't have some insurance, I better get some before I get to this office. So that's one, the more you make an issue. Now, the other thing too, because I've been doing this for 20 years and you've seen this, how this works, these conditions are not going to get better. They're not. You know, everyone's complaining about Delta Premier and what's happening with Delta, you know, PPO. That's going to continuously happen. And it's almost like if you let your mind go into the gutter, that's all you're going to think about is how bad it is for your insurance. Now, don't get me wrong. It's part of the game. But you got to get this right before this gets right. Agree?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you mentioned early on, I'm married to a dentist. So I sort of have this, like, I step over the boundary a little bit with dentists because I understand how dentists think and I know where it starts. I mean, it really starts from when you're looking in the patient's mouth, and let's say the patient needs three crowns. Okay. Clinically, the patient needs three crowns, but then that voice in your head starts, well, they only have enough insurance for one crown. The last time I mentioned she needed a crown, she started to cry. You know, she mentioned her husband might be getting laid off, and we pick our heads up and the doctor says, you need one crown. We're going to put a watch on the other two. Right. Now, clinically, she needed the crown, the three crowns, and we're stopping really helping our patients from that moment, because now we're putting a watch on two teeth that actually needed treatment and we never even presented it. And so then when it goes to the staff and we say, well, why are we watching these teeth? Well, now the staff become a little bit more, well, because she only has enough insurance for one. And then next thing you know, we're doing pre-authorizations and predetermined. So it's kind of that steep hill where it just snowballs. And next thing you know, you've got this culture where we're putting insurance first. So right. We really have to change that. That really has to change if you're really going to take care of your patients.
Yeah. Now, you and I talked about this before we got started. This is a hot topic. So as you can imagine, the feed is blowing up right now. So,
I'm a dentist, I think, right?
Well, no, I mean, we're going to answer a lot of these questions. We'll answer every question eventually, maybe not today, but I hope I'm saying your name right. I would love to go totally fee for service and only bill out of network benefits, but I feel that it would be very risky, which is true. I'm tired of not getting paid what we're worth. So talk to that.
It's true. And actually, I've done both. I've been in network for PPOs and worked my way out. And then we've started a fee for service practice the second time. And so there's a way to get out of network for sure. If your schedule's so full, and let's say your crown's $1,000, but your schedule's booked out for 3 weeks, and you're doing $700 crowns for the insurance companies because you're in network, it's probably time to start considering getting out of network because you're not getting paid your value. I mean, that patient's getting $1,000 crown, and you're only getting paid $700. Right. But don't just do it overnight, and it is scary. And there is a process you have to go through. There's verbal skills that you need to work with your team on so that they know how to talk to the patients because, you know, as soon as the doctor leaves, they look at the dental assistant and say, you know, why are you dropping my insurance? That dental assistant better be really good at explaining it, you know? But if you're really booked and you're not feeling like you're getting paid what you should be, ultimately, we're here to make a good living and take care of our staff and help our patients. We're not here to work for the insurance companies. We don't work for them. We work for us.
Amen. Amen. And this is my own personal belief. You don't have to agree with this, but I believe any dentist that really wants to practice out of network can. You have got to embark on a very deliberate journey, and it's going to be dependent on how good you get to be as a communicator. I mean, insurance, this is a behavioral issue. I mean, you have got to be so good at creating value for people that they make a decision to reach into their pocket and pay for something they value, fully understanding this. So we could debate this. And then I just want to say one more thing. Carrie said this. I believe that between insurance and corporate dentistry, our profession has changed, at least in many areas of the country, which is true. But I would say this, I'm going to say this, Carrie, it's always going to change. Now, 20 years ago, when I got involved in this industry, you'd have people up there going, you know, it's only going to be fee for service and HMOs, PPOs will disappear. Well, that never happened. Dentists were supposed to disappear when fluoride came onto the scene. But, you know, I mean, everybody's predicted the end. But let me remind everybody that's watching this. You're watching this because you care. And dentistry on January 11th, 2017 was ranked, general dentistry ranked the number one profession in the country, not in healthcare, but in the country. Orthodontics and oral surgery, three in the top 10. You walked into the greatest profession ever. Now it's just time to get it. And it's no different than we tell our kids, look, it's not going to get any easier. You have to get better. That's why we're doing this. So let's go right into it because we could debate this whole thing for a while.
You're going to get a lot of feeds on this.
Oh, this is awesome. I freaking love it. Okay, so now once we've educated the team, where do we go, Laura? Like, what are patients really asking when they say, how much will my insurance cover? What are they really asking?
So we have to understand that what we sell, people don't love. Okay. So they don't love. I mean, what do? We put drills and needles in their mouth and they're going to pay us thousands of dollars for something nobody's ever going to see. And half the time it didn't hurt before you touched them. You know, they came in for cleaning and now we're talking to them about $1,000 crown. I do $1,000 because it's a round number. I'm not very good at math. So we have to understand people don't want what we offer. They don't, you know, this is why when a patient says, I'm only doing my insurance covers and they leave because they have to think about it. And then you see them at Costco pushing the big screen TV because they don't have any money. And you're like, well, what happened? Right. Mm-hmm. People don't like now, what do we actually do for our patients? We're healthcare providers, right? We help them live longer and live a better life. And we need to really get that. And like you said, and you have to have the customer service and the systems and the skills in place to really have that comfort level of going, we do what's best for you as a patient.
Right.
Now, when patients are asking about their insurance, they only are thinking about their insurance book and their pocketbook. Mm-hmm. Because again, that's all they know. They know they want the least amount of dentistry possible at the cheapest amount, you know, cheapest price, or only what the insurance covers. So when they're asking those questions, because there's a part of buying that we go through, they're considering it, right? So they're, it's kind of like, if you go to buy, I don't know, a big screen TV and you say, are there any specials for Easter or for the holidays or whatever? That's not saying you're not going to buy the big screen TV. Right. You just want to know. And people have to get these questions answered before they're going to make their decision. But what happens in the dental office is a lot of times we haven't been trained in sales. We haven't been trained in. So as soon as we hear a patient asking a question like, do you know, how much is my insurance going to cover or will it cover it all? We take it as, oh, they're pushing it off or they're insurance driven. Or a lot of times with doctors, they'll say, you know, that's a lot of money. And doctors think, well, that means we have to give them a discount, right? We're charged too much. That's not what they're saying. It is $1,000 for a crown. A crown is this big. Is that not expensive? It completely is. It's okay for patients to say these things, but we need to understand when they're asking these questions, why they're asking it.
Right.
They're considering if they're going to get the dentistry done and buy it from us. And we need to stick with them and answer these for them to get them to that point where they can make the educated decision.
Right. Right. And one of the things that you tell me if you agree with this, but what you just said is critical. Like that's the first step to the treatment plan for this whole question is you got to ask yourself or ask the patient, why are they asking this question? And so we teach our teams as well as I know you do this. Don't answer people's questions directly. Sometimes you often want to ask a question. So why? If they say, yeah. Why, you know, how much does my insurance cover? Because I have the teachers union plan or something like this where you're like, oh my gosh, you don't want to say, go right into the details. You often want to just pause it and start asking a question because sometimes there's more to what's going on here. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So let me be the patient here. So I'm just gonna say, Laura, I have the lousiest insurance ever. How much of my insurance is going to cover? Because I like your husband. He's a great guy. But I want to know how much is my insurance going to cover?
So your insurance, you know, it really just depends. And what we'll do is we'll help you maximize the insurance. But the bigger picture here is let's talk about the treatment plan. If we can help you maximize your insurance, what are you hoping to achieve with this treatment plan? Tell me a little bit more about why you came to us and what you want from this. Again, to get them talking, right? Not to go, because what happens is, especially up front, this is my front office team, okay? We go right to the treatment plan. We go right to the each line. It's going to cover 80% of this. It's going to cover 50% of this. And that's not why they're really asking. And that's not a real discussion. That's just kind of going off of like I like to say it's Burger King. You know, when you go to Burger King and you order off a menu, and it's like, I'll have junior Whopper cheese, extra. Well, as soon as the patient goes, what's my insurance going to cover? And we go to the menu. That's when the patients start going, oh, they're only going to cover one crown, not the other. I'll do the one crown, but I'll do the fillings, but I won't do the night guard. We're here for this whole treatment plan to take care of our patients. And we're not in this, you know, we're not negotiating. It's let's get the patient on board for what they need. So I agree with you 100%. Get the patient talking. Now, most dental professionals have not been trained in communication.
Right.
Most dental professionals have not been trained in sales, and we sell something. We sell something people don't want. So the better we are at being comfortable of getting our patient to talk, the better we're going to be at selling them on the dentistry that they need.
Right. And the underlying issue too, is when you ask people a question, number one, they can't ignore it. I mean, they have to answer the question. You're also going to bring a lot of things to the surface that'll help you better understand what's going on with them. And the third thing that's going to happen is you're going to create intimacy between few human beings, your favorite people that come into your office, your favorite patients, you just have great dialogue with them and it's authentic and it's honest. So it's very important to do that. And we're going to do a whole nother show on itemized treatment plans, but I am very anti-itemized treatment plans because anytime you list anything out for me, if my landscaper comes over and goes, you know, I'm going to create the beautiful thing you want and list everything, I'm going to go, no. And before you know it, the beautiful thing I want is now
a bush.
Yeah. So keep going.
It's funny. Well, I was going to say, this is where I have this dichotomy of being a speaker and a trainer and being an office manager, because I agree with you 100%. I have yet to make the plunge in my office, and my doctors and I've talked about it, about taking away that itemized treatment plan. I have yet to do it. I believe it. I agree with it. I'm trying to figure out how to implement it. So I agree with you. I don't want to sit and negotiate over, I'll do these three fillings, but not that filling. That's not what we're here for. We're here for taking care of our patients. So I'm excited to talk about that.
I had a dentist ask me this. What if we brought you the bill in advance for an amazing dinner and said, okay, I'm going to print it all out before I order it. And you'd go, this is $450. No, we're going to go with the cheaper wine. I don't really want the appetizer. Is there any way, do you have happy hour price? I mean, you would literally take it apart.
That is great.
All right. So let's get back to the original question.
I think the biggest thing too is, okay, so I'm going to talk about this buying cycle because I think this is so important. When people are bringing up insurance, it's just what they know. Okay. Right. And if we don't acknowledge it, and then what I teach is you acknowledge what they ask you. So whatever it is, then you repeat the treatment plan. And then they ask another question. Well, do I have to take time off of work, or can I wait till my insurance renews? And you answer that question, and then you repeat the treatment plan. And then, because think about it, like I like to go shopping, right? I like to shop for shoes. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I go shopping for shoes. I pick up a pair of shoes, and what do? I don't just go, oh, sweet, I'll take them. I pick them up and I go, wow, they're kind of expensive, right? Once you see the price, now you're starting to consider it. Should I wait for them to be on sale? Can I look at another store and see if they're less expensive somewhere else? Can I hide them in my suitcase so my husband doesn't know I spent money on them, right?
Right.
And then I make the decision. And so we have to understand patients are doing the same thing. And until we get to the money discussion and the insurance and the money, a patient's not really sold. And right. If we don't do this process well, what happens is we put them in the schedule. They leave and we double book because we're like, it's 50-50 if they're going to show up or not. When really we need to understand this is the most important part of case acceptance is handling this question.
Right. It's handling this question. And again, I'm getting so many great questions. So I'm going to fire them at you. Santosh asked this, going back to your previous example, how would you word your treatment plan to the patient who depends on his insurance to pay for 3 crowns? So that's a good question.
Okay, so what we have to understand is there are patients who value their teeth over their pocketbook,
right.
Okay? And there are patients who value their pocketbook over their teeth, okay? So I'm not saying that every patient has money. I'm not saying every patient can afford the treatment plan, and maybe some you need to do one this year, one next year, one the year after.
Right.
But what has happened is we've been so beat up, we just automatically go to that. We just use that as a crutch, you know? So we'll do one this year, one next year, or we'll pre-authorize it, or we'll, you know. So what I'm trying to challenge everyone when I'm talking about this is to realize that some of our patients have money, right? There are patients who are going on vacation. They're driving in with their new Lexus. They have their $5 Starbucks coffee in their hand and their new iPhone 7. And they're telling us they're only going to do what the insurance covers.
Right.
So what I'm suggesting is a combination kind of your point and mine is, to recognize that patients are going to say they're only doing what the insurance covers. Understand, explain why that's not what's best for them and tell them the treatment plan again. And then start asking them questions. One of the things you taught me, which I love, is, you know, when they say, can I do in-office payments? And I say, well, what are you thinking?
Right.
Right? I get them talking, but we give up too early. We give up too early. Now, after you do this 2-3 times with a patient, if they really can only truly afford what the insurance covers or something, well, then do what you're always doing. You know, what you've been doing up to this point. But I just suggest that there's a good percentage of our patients that we are not really good at trying to get them to understand that what we do is best for them and get them through those questions.
Right. I think what you're saying too, we've talked about this. A lot of times team members introduce roadblocks that aren't even there too early.
Yeah. You want to go home and think about it, or I'll send the pre-authorization, or it's like, don't do that. You know, just get the patient what they need. Right.
Yeah, let's just go there, you know. And so another thing too, and I want to say this, if you're watching this, this is really good to take notes, because Laura, you can see her verbal skills are so good. I've heard you say this in different respects, but you want to start preconditioning patients too when they do come to your office in this question, because there's going to be sometimes you don't even know how we're going to cry. We haven't even had an exam yet. We haven't even taken a look. Those are really good questions, Mrs. Jones, when they ask that question, but I can tell you, Dr. Hatch is amazing. You're going to love him. And then once we find out a little bit more about you, I can help you with that. And I promise you, you're calling the right place. But one thing I can share with you is that your insurance, we love it here. We're an insurance-friendly office, but it may only cover a portion of what you and Dr. Hatch discuss. So, but let's do this. So as you can see, you're letting them know already, we're not accepting as a full payment. We might accept it as no payment, but let's get you in here, because I think everyone that's watching this, if you watch CE or you take the time, you believe this, and I hope you do. If we can get them in the door, they're going to stay. Would you agree?
Yes.
I hope you.
Well, I'm going to challenge you on that one, Kirk. I would say not everybody.
Not everybody.
Right? Not everybody.
Most people.
Yeah.
I would say 80%.
Yeah. Right. I would say 80% will stay. I mean, we're a fee-for-service office, and they can go right across the street to the dentist across the street. Great guy. My husband and I know him. But he's in network for all the insurances, and my patients can leave and they can go to him and they can save a lot of money. But when you get them in the door and you wow them with the experience, and they trust your practice, and everybody's on the same page, and your support, they're going to want to stay in your office. Right. Now, if you are an insurance-driven office and you get them in, well, now you're going to play the insurance game. And I'm not saying we shouldn't know about insurance, but we need to understand that patients, they come to us and they spend extra money because of the experience in your practice. And the insurance is just a byproduct of it that we need to know, but we don't want to be driven by it.
Yeah. So I've got a great one here. This is just blowing up. I love this. Okay. Andrea asked this question and Emily chimed in and said, OMG, Andrea, every day. Okay. So Andrea said this, I had a patient come and say, you're contracted with my insurance. You should know everything. How would you respond in a correct professional way?
I actually just had a situation with one of my, I'm not contracted, but this patient of mine was upset because they had a balance. And I sat down with the patient and she's like, you're supposed to know everything about the insurances, right? You're supposed to know about all. Okay. So we have to remind our patients in a polite manner. Of course, this is always keeping our, you know, customer service up there, that ultimately we're here for their dental health. We're here to help them keep their teeth and live a better life and a longer life. We do the best we can to keep up with insurances, but insurances, whether we're contracted or not, are always changing. Right. Insurances are always finding ways to save money. Insurance is always trying to find ways to downgrade or change. So you need to understand, Ms. Patient, that we're here to help you save your teeth. If you want to know the ins and outs with your insurance, have a problem with it, need to discuss it, I suggest you go to your HR department at your employer because that's who purchased your insurance. That's right. Who picked the plan. So we will help you with your insurance and we try to do the best we can. But because it's always changing, you need to know that we're here for your dental health. And that's where our focus is. We're here to help you keep your teeth.
Yeah. Okay. Got another one too. This is just great. Carrie asked the question. Perfect example. Patient finished Invisalign. Great result from a very demanding patient. Asked her if she wanted to have her maintenance, et cetera, done here so we could monitor her orthodontics. But she said, I go to my other dentist for cleanings.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, there's a whole bunch of answers here. We could do this for hours. First of all, I wouldn't say, do you want to?
Right.
Because what is the patient going to say? Patient's going to say no, right?
Never say, do you want to?
Do you want to pay? No, let's get you scheduled.
Okay? Right.
On that example, I would say that your upfront work with this patient wasn't done really well. So the patient came to you to get Invisalign. Well, if the patient, did we turn them into a new patient of ours? Did you do an exam and cleaning? Or did they come to you because you had an Invisalign special, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have a whitening special. So that person came to you for Invisalign, but has another dentist. That should have been figured out earlier on, right?
Right.
Then you have to determine for your practice, is that okay or not? So in my office, it's not really okay to go somewhere else for cleanings and come to us for dentistry or vice versa. We're either your general dentist and we take care of everything or we're not. So that was probably more of screening of the patient early on whether or not they were transferring to your practice or were they just coming to you for the service.
Right. And also too, you know how this is. All of the things that we see in this world, it's up to us to make sure that we frame these things correctly. I believe this, and Laura, I know you do too. Your entire team has to believe one thing before you even entertain this question, that money spent in your office is hands down some of the best money they could ever spend. Now, if you if you're going to fight me on this and go, that's not true, then don't listen. Just hang up. Just get offline because seriously, because nothing we're going to say is going to help you after that. And I'm guessing that if you're watching this, you don't eat at Denny's every day and go, hey, look, I got three more coupons, guys. Guess what we're doing tonight? We're going to Denny's. You're not doing that. Yeah. I go to the best restaurant all the time. You know why? Because I reach into my pocket and I pull out money for the things that I value. And you do too. You know, Costco is crazy busy. I mean, people spend hundreds of dollars going in and out. You don't see anybody, you know, just looking to be on the cheap end there. You know, you're going to spend lots of money there. So, so I think that's one of the first things that we have to think about as far as money spent in your office. Would you agree?
Yeah, you and I are like trying to get in.
Go.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So when I use the analogy hotels, right? You can stay at the Hyatt or the Marriott or the Hilton, or you can stay at Motel 6, right? Motel 6, they leave the light on. It's, I don't know, $49 a night now. I don't know. It was like $29 when I was a kid, right? Or you can spend $249 at a Marriott or $300 or whatever, okay? They're both in business. They're both doing very well. If they weren't, there wouldn't be Motel 6 for $49 a night. But think about it, where patients come in, if I were to go to Motel 6 and say, how much? They say $49 a night. Then I go to Marriott and I say, well, how much is it? And they say $300. And I say, well, Motel 6 is doing it for $49. Give me a deal. What would Marriott say? They would say,
what?
Go to Motel 6. We're $30 or $300 a night. So this is where we have to understand that I feel one of my big things is we don't have to be the dentist for everybody. There are patients who want a Motel 6 dentist, and we are a Marriott practice, right? I'm not saying we have to be like, you know, the Grand Hyatt or something, but don't try to do quality dentistry on a negotiating with a patient about the price, because you're never going to win unless you're the cheapest dentist in town, which I'm sure you're not listening to this. You're not going to win. So you can't do this on price. You have to be at a higher level.
Yeah. You and I talked about this before, because you and I always like to joke a little bit. Life is too short to drink bad beer. It just is. Like when I go home tonight, I'm going to have a really good beer. I don't have red, white, and blue in a can because it's the cheapest beer out there. And it's, you know what I mean? I'm just not, I did that in college because I had no money. Right. Now, and so I think that's part of the whole thing is you got to think, look, I went to dental school. I worked my butt off. You know, now it's time for you to value what you do in a way that other people value what you do. And my wife goes to a hairdresser. She pays top dollar. We don't have hair insurance. She writes a check for the whole thing, and she will leave our children with strangers to get there. Yep. And if she misses her appointment, she's got to wait another 8 weeks, which she will not do. And he only works 9 to 2. Okay. So I don't know what the deal is. And the other thing I would say is we can make this a really emotional issue, because it can be. Don't get me wrong. But once you get into a downward swell, where you start damning insurance companies, the swell that comes from that is just nasty, and you got to kill it. Because the truth of it is like you said, it's not going to get any easier. It's going to get harder. And the thing that you can do, this is the United States of America, you can slow down your participation. Like some of you think, well, insurance, I'm shackled. Like we're contracted, which means we have to take these patients. No, you don't. You can actually limit the number of patients that you see per insurance. I say this, if you're really struggling with this, list out all of your insurances and start with the worst one or least desirable one and slow down your participation, which is how many appointments are we taking from them? Okay, cut them in half this month. Right. Then we're going to cut them by another 10%, another 10%. We're going to slow down the participation. Don't get off of the insurance, stay on it. But now you're not backfilling it with all these people that make you crazy. Like you said at the beginning of the show, you're like, oh my gosh, another MetLife. And if you have three of those in a row, it's kind of like striking out three times in a row as a batter. By the time you get up to the plate the fourth time, you have no energy.
Yep. I agree with that 100%. I mean, we have to understand insurance has its part, right? Insurance is there. It helps. It's $1,000. But honestly, I actually read this recently. Insurance has been, I mean, I got into the industry in 2003. So those who've been in the industry longer, I mean, insurance has offered $1,500, $1,000 since the beginning, right? If insurance had kept up with inflation the way everything else has, we'd be getting $9,000 a year in insurance. If my patients had $9,000 a year, you and I wouldn't be having this discussion.
Nope.
Because I'd be able to help most of my patients for what they need. So we have to understand that our patients have this little thing, this insurance that we need to deal with. But there are so many other things that we should deal with that are more important. I mean, people are spending more out of pocket. There's competition. They're expecting more. That's what we really should put our focus on, is when they walk in that front door, are we selling them from that moment they walk in the door to we sit down and do the presentation? And if we get down that insurance, you know, rabbit hole, we're just playing the insurance game along with them. And we really need to keep ourselves above that, because we're healthcare providers. We're here to take care of them.
Right. So, you know, give us another instance. Like, you get this question in different forms all day long. Will my insurance cover it? What are some of the other ways that you deal with it as it comes into your office all day long?
Well, so a lot of times patients say they just want to do what the insurance covered. Okay, so let me actually back up. Let me talk about a couple of things that I think are super important.
Okay.
I think that you should not be presenting the treatment plan and the insurance and the money at the front desk.
Right.
Because what happens is the doctor tells the patient in the back what they need, and the patient does this, and then we walk them to the front desk, and until they see the money, we're not going to really hear if they're on board or not, right? They need to know how much it's going to cost. So what we're doing is we're doing it at the front desk, where they're getting this, like you said, this list, and they're saying, oh, my insurance doesn't cover it all. Well, I only want to do what my insurance covers. And they're only about 6 steps away from the front door. Mm-hmm. You know, I always like to tease and say, go down and tie their shoes. So when they run, they'll fall.
Right.
And there's people all around. You know, there's other patients all around. So we're not going to put them in an environment where we can actually have a real discussion with them. And, well, they'll tell us what their real concerns are. And I want that, because we're not just dealing with teeth and insurances. We're dealing with people, right? Mm-hmm. People have fears. They have concerns. They filed for bankrupt. Some don't have family to help. So all of that comes into play in this discussion. So I say all consultations, treatment plan presentations should be done in a consultation room, if Amen. You have, mm-hmm. or chair side, and set the patient up and, you know, talk to them like a person, because these are where the real discussions are going to happen. They're not going to happen at the front desk. You know, they're either going to have to think about it or check with their insurance, or they're going to schedule and then you're wondering 50-50 if they're going to show up. So I think that's a huge change. And patients normally thank us for taking time. We do all of ours in the consultation room, and that's where we have the real discussion. So people say things like, I'm only doing what the insurance covers, or I only want to do what the insurance covers. So we ask them a question. Okay, well, insurance is only here for this amount of money and your treatment plan's this. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to keep your teeth?
Right.
Patient goes, well, yeah, I want to keep my, okay, well, doing just what the insurance covers, is it? So getting them in a discussion about, well, because some people say no. Some right. people go, I don't really care. Mama had braces or had dentures, and my brother has dentures, and I just want my teeth pulled. Well, maybe that's not the best patient for our practice then, because that's mm-hmm. not what we do, right? So we need to have that discussion with our patients. We need to have the comfort to ask them questions, have a real discussion with them. And then some patients just may not be the best patient for your practice. And that's okay, because there's Motel 6 down the street and somebody down the street will pull that guy's teeth. We're not going to do it in my practice.
Right. And I just want to piggyback on this too, because you used consult room. For about 6 years now, I will not look at a floor plan in a dental office, a new office. I will refuse to look at it unless it has one thing. It has to have a consult room. Yep. It is the most profitable, important. I will take it over an op. And you see some satellite offices. There are satellite offices now in the United States that don't even have ops. They just have a front desk and a consult room. You know, interesting, because that's where all the magic and the intimacy happens. Yep. You have to have the intimacy. Think about it. What if at Costco, if every time a credit card was declined, they'd go, I got a decline on number 4. Card was declined. You know what I mean? People would go, they would never come back. You know, now that's a little extreme. It's important. Now, the other thing is, this is really a self, I think sometimes it's a self-image problem or a self-esteem problem sometimes in dentistry, because you see this, you're so good at this, because people might be watching this and go, hey, Laura, that's really good, but you're really confident about this. And it's true, you are, because you guys work at this, you rehearse this. If you're a dentist and you go, well, my team's not that good, this is your opportunity. You have to train these people to communicate confidently, because if you've taken any sales course or read any sales book, you know two people, the one who is the better influencer, given they have rapport, will always win 100%. So when you have a team member that's really strong, believes they wear the dentistry that you promote, they have paid out of their pocket, they believe in the dentist, this is easy. When you have somebody at the front that goes, I know, he's really expensive. And I know it's hard. It is hard. I know there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. And when you start going down the sympathy route, it's lose-lose for everybody. Your job is to help them, not to decide for them, but to help them get to where they want to go. And then the insurance becomes an afterthought or part of the, it's part of the puzzle.
Yeah. It's like, I just went and got a new cell phone yesterday and they were like, do you want the insurance on it? Do you want to do the 36 months or the 24 months financing? I mean, we have to talk about the details, but we don't need to be driven by it. And I'm going to say for you, or what you had just talked about, not only do we need to make sure our team is trained, doctors, you lead by example. Okay. So part of the reason, I think there's a lot of speakers out there, I don't know nowadays, but there used to be where we said dentists shouldn't talk about money. Dentists should not talk about money. Well, I think the reason is who's the first person to give dentistry away? The dentist, the doctor.
Every day.
25% off, give you free crowns, give you like, so if you're telling your team that you need to be selling dentistry and we need to be their healthcare providers and we need to not be focused on insurance, you need to lead by example, you know? And if the patient says to you, what's my insurance going to cover? Or how much is this going to cost? And you're like the roadrunner and you're out of there and you send in Susie from the front desk, what is that teaching your team? Right. So you have to get comfortable. Now, I'm not saying you have to go over every insurance and, the treatment plan, but you have to get comfortable saying it's around $6,000 or your treatment plan's $5,000. If you can't talk about money and then you send it to the team, they're not going to be as confident with it. So you really need to lead by example, which means the whole team needs to get training on this.
Right. Right. So take, I mean, you have story after story. Take us in another instance, because I really want to, dissect this question. What other instances do you see where people say, hey, look, will my insurance cover this? Or will you take this as payment? Now, other things too, the whole idea of, do you accept my insurance or do you participate? Those aren't the same questions either, right, too. Now we can dissect that, but help us understand a little bit more behind this question and how we can better equip ourselves if we're watching this broadcast.
I think it's that we, and I try to talk about this with when I'm training staff, when I'm live, they ask me a lot of times, you know, in and out of network and insurance and that kind of thing. We know more about insurance than our patients do.
Right.
We know in and out of network benefits. We know downgrades. We know waiting periods. We know all of that. And if we want to sound like we're educated and we know all the ins and outs, great. And you're going to scare the patient away and they're not going to want to do dentistry. And like, for example, the dentist across the street is in network for the PPOs. I don't sit in front of my patients in a consultation and go, just so you know, our doctor's great, but if you go across the street, you're going to pay $800 less than you do. Like, patients don't know that. I'm not going to bring it up. So we have to recognize that our patients, if you make it not a big deal, most of the time, neither are the patients. So your insurance covers $180.50. You have $1,500 of maximum benefit. We're going to help you maximize your insurance. It's going to cover a percentage of this. Let's talk about the treatment plan. And it really becomes a comfort thing that the patients, not all of them, because I know there's some in here going, no, you know, people are want to follow their insurance, but there are patients who do value their teeth and they value the service that you give them. And if your team is trained well, we can get them off that insurance discussion and a lot of times get them to the case acceptance, right? But there's little things like I just recently wrote an article about words not to say in the dental office, right? Because I remember my husband saying, you never say oops. If you're like over a patient, you never say oops. And that kind of stuck with me. One of mine is don't say like. So if the doctor, we do our case presentations in a consult room with the doctor and the treatment coordinator. And the doctor's in, you know, presents everything, patient's doing this. And then at the end, he says, do you have any questions? And if I know that the patient, once he leaves, the patient's going to say, well, my insurance is maxed for the year. Can it wait until January? I'm going to ask that question right then with the doctor in the consultation room. So I'm going to say, I have a question. She's used all her insurance this year and it doesn't renew until January. Is this something she can wait on or does she need it right away?
Right.
If the doctor says, well, it's over, right? Because there was no, it has to be, no, this can't wait. January is 7 months away. This tooth could break. So some of this just comes from our confidence and our everybody, like you said, the doctor standing behind their skills and their treatment plans, and then the staff supporting them.
Right. I'm going to piggyback on that one too, because I've heard this from so many clinicians. One of the most freeing places to ever be as a dentist is just detach yourself from what you think a patient might say, because it's not your job to try to figure out how they're going to respond. Your job is just to tell them the truth. And the more confidently you can tell them the truth, the better you're going to be. And you know this, any business we go to where people are authentic, you're like, I like her.
Yeah.
You know, if I go in a restaurant and somebody says, you know, this is an amazing restaurant, but for you, I wouldn't order that. I would actually go with the sea bass because I'm like, I like that. You know, and people are honest and I don't, that's one piece. Now, I want to ask you about this too, because this is a big deal. As an office, you have to be an insurance-friendly office. Now, you talked about this at the beginning, but I want you to go, you know, because you could easily say, well, I don't participate. We don't participate anywhere, you know, blah, blah, blah. When you love it when people say, do you take my insurance? Or we love that question. Love that question.
Yeah. The biggest thing is to recognize whenever they're asking that question, that's all that they know. They should be asking, how good is your doctor? How much CE has your doctor done? You know, is there any lawsuits against your doctor? They just know their insurance. So that question is just part of them considering to buy it. That's all it is. And if we don't put so much weight on it and we actually start asking them questions. So here's, you mentioned this a minute ago. We didn't address this. Somebody says, are you in network for my insurance? Do you participate? Okay. I'm going to still, and this is answering phones is a different one that you and I did, but I'm going to still say, yes, we work with your insurance. Let me ask you a few questions. Okay. And I'm going to find out a little bit about, you know, what happened. Most of the time, if you go on the internet and you read reviews about dental offices, it has nothing to do with dentistry. It has to do with the front office team. It has to do with how we handle the balance, how we handle the insurance estimates and all of that. So a lot of times when I, after I've answered, you know, gotten to know the patient, I'll say, let me ask you, why did you ask, are we in network? And they'll tell me. And most of the time they'll tell me a story about how they got burned. The girls up front didn't estimate well, then they called and they were rude and they sent some bills and then they threatened the patient. And some of those patients will still come to us, even if we're not in network, because I'll explain our process and how we go, you know, we sit down ahead of time and we call the insurance. And they're not necessarily having to go to someone in network. They still want a good dentist. They just didn't like how the front office staff handled that scenario. So asking them the question and letting them tell you, you still might be able to convert that patient to a patient of yours, you know?
Yeah. Now, if you haven't listened to anything, that was the gem right there. So it bears repeating. So if you just throw out everything in here and you don't agree with any, just ask the question. That's why you're so good at this. When somebody asks you the question, ask them why they asked the question. Why did you ask, you know, Mrs. Jones, can I ask you a question? Why did you ask me if we are in network? Because I want you to know we're in the right place. And that's a great thing to use in the phone. It's a great way to use in the operatory. If somebody says, do you take MetLife? You can say to them, Mrs. Jones, can I ask you a question? Share with me a little bit about why you asked that question, because it sounds like that's really important to you. And I want you to know you came to the right place. I'm going to help you. It doesn't mean that you're going to take it as full payment, but you're going to start to learn why.
We do the same thing for second opinions. When people come in for a second opinion,
right?
You know, what my husband will tell them is put your treatment plan from the other dentist in your back pocket. I don't want to see it. Right. Let me do the exam. Let me see what's going on with your tooth. And then we're going to sit down. And then we say, tell us why you're here. Why didn't you get this done at the other dental office? And most of the time you'll find out it's not about price. It was, I didn't really trust that dentist, or they weren't really high tech or whatever. But we tend to think it's a shopping thing, like it's about price. And most of the time when we get a second opinion, it's not about price.
Right.
It's that the last dentist, for whatever reason, they didn't feel like they should get it done there and they're looking for a better dentist. And we'll convert most of our second opinions to patients of ours because of that.
Right. You and I could sit down and look at 100 of these, and almost 95% of them would all come down to trust.
Yeah.
It would all come down, I didn't trust that person. You know, you're going to find out maybe a bigger percentage that might come down to just pure money. That's fine. Sure. But really, it comes down to trust. Now, another tip, if you're watching this, is if people leave your office and they want to get a second opinion, I learned this one too, ask them to not show the other dentist the treatment plan that's in your office, because you guys do it so well. I don't want to see it, but there are a lot of dentists that if your treatment plan's floating around, any dentist will go, you don't need endo, you don't need perio, they'll just take it apart, just like any itemized list. So say to a patient, Mrs. Jones, I know you want to get a second opinion, but you do me a favor, make sure you truly get a second opinion. And we'd really appreciate it if you didn't share our treatment plan, because we want it to truly be an independent opinion. So sidetrack on that, but let's get back to the insurance question. Any last thoughts you want to have about this? Because as you know, this is going to blow up even after this, and people are going to ask lots of questions. Do you have any closing thoughts on this? Because this is such a hot topic in dentistry.
Yeah, and this is actually newer for me since I started Front Office Rocks. I think that we need to continually invest in our teams. And part of the reason is that, like, I have two new girls at my front desk. They're both brand new and they've done all the training and stuff. And they're just like, you know, eager and ready and trying to get patients in. Now, I just started hearing one of them start getting a little bit more insurance driven. She's had a couple insurances that came back. So now she's asking more questions. So I need to get her back into training to remind her why we're here. Right. Because we tend to get beat up, like I said, you know, insurance has come back and don't pay. A patient's mad about insurance not paying. You know, they downgrade and it kind of just like weighs us down and we sort of forget what we're here for in the big picture. So just like dentists have to go get CE every year to keep themselves fresh and the latest and greatest, and high dentists do and dental assistants do, what do we have at the front desk, right? And we're the ones that handle the calls, the schedule, the payments, the money, the insurance. And it can get really heavy on us. So anything we can do to continually kind of build our teams up and to remind them and to enhance their skills and to, we're here to help people. That's right. The industry we're in. We're here to help people. Let's continually invest in our team so everybody remembers that.
Yeah, everybody knows this. I hope they know this. Your best asset is not your real estate. It's not your clinical skills. Yeah. It's not the CERAC. It's not digital x-rays. It's not your network. It's these people that are around you. When you develop the people, that's when your life changes. Because you know this, when you have an amazing assistant or amazing front desk person or an amazing hygienist, they transform your life. You go, this is unbelievable, because they can do things you could never do. You know, everybody says that, but how many of us actually do this? And so, and you know, I've talked about this. I love going to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a great company. Do you know, Chick-fil-A employees are required to watch 40 videos before they can even go on the floor to serve a chicken sandwich. My question is, if you're a dentist watching this, how many videos do your team members watch before they go and serve patients? Like, my guess is zero. Here's what you do. You go, go. And that insurance thing, I hate it. So yeah, get fee-for-service patients, you know, and everybody goes, So
I actually thought about you when, because you talk about that Chick-fil-A thing all the time. My daughter has a friend, she's a teenager and has a friend that works at Pep Boys. And I was talking about Pep Boys. Pep Boys has the same thing. It's a car, shop, right? I don't even go to Pep Boys. My husband does. They have to watch videos. They have to do things like the phone has to be answered by the second ring. Customers have to be greeted within 30 seconds of walking in the store. Like Pep Boys, they sell car stuff and they've got customer service figured out way more than we do in the dental industry.
Shield Sporting Goods, if you have one of these, they're crushing it. They do 1 hour a day. It's a sporting goods store. 1 hour a day of leadership training. 1 hour a day. They sell basketballs. Like, why would you train people to do leadership training? But they're crushing it because their people skills are off the charts. Believe it or not, people skills and these communication skills are how it all works, because dentistry is hugely behavioral. Now, Laura, you have front office rocks. Like, so if you're sitting here as a dentist, you're like 32, you go, look, guys, I believe it, but you know, I don't even know where to start. Like, my team, my practice, it's out of control. It's crazy. I've got little kids. What do I do? You have a whole online training series. It's called Front Office Rocks. And is it $150 a month? What's in there? How do I get it? Like, how does this all work?
So it's $149 a month. Okay. And part of my idea behind it, like I said early on, is there wasn't really training for us at the front desk. So it's focused on the idiosyncrasies of everything we do in the front office. And it kind of came from when you first started in the beginning of this, you're like, you're here, you're there. I see people. I kind of wanted to clone myself. Like, I wanted to be able to help more dentists than just be able to go in office. So it's videos and they're all 8 to 10 minutes long. 12 minutes long is the longest one. Over 180 of them. Yeah. From everything from tooth surfaces and insurance codes, so you can hire somebody with no dental but good personality, to answering the phones and handling insurance and cancellations and no-shows and asking for payment and productive scheduling. So it's everything that we do at the front desk. Over 180 videos, $149 a month. I just ask for 1 hour a week. You put your staff on it 1 hour a week, and it will enhance their customer service skills. It's $149 for the whole team. I have documents on there. I have all my blogs on there. And then I also do webinars twice a month where I actually like to say, because I know you're growing a lot with this show. I had over 85 offices on last time we did a webinar. And it was this question and answer of the teams. And I said, it's the biggest online meeting of front office dental professionals, I think, in the history, because now we have this access on the internet to do this, you know?
Right.
So that's all included in the price. You can train new employees. You can help your current employees get a little bit better. You can do it in team meetings. There's multiple ways that people are using the site.
Yeah. Now think about that. Laura's asking for 1 hour a week. Sporting goods stores that are killing it do it 1 hour a day. If you don't have $150 to invest in these people and 1 hour a week, we got other things we need to talk about. You just don't like people. I guess that's what I would say. So
you're happy please, what you're doing.
Do it for yourself. Do it for your team. Invest in them, because it's not a cost. It's an investment. So
it's, what is it? Henry Ford, who says, like, I think it was Henry Ford. I'm quoting this, but like, I'm afraid if I train my team and they leave, what happens? And it's actually worse to have your team stay and not train them.
Right.
Right. I mean, your staff, I'm telling you, doctors, your staff gets beat up all day long up front. All day long. So give them something that helps them remember why they're here and help them get better and help them learn how to handle patients, because nobody's really teaching this. You know, they're kind of having to figure it out on their own. And that's really where I hope that this training helps.
Yeah, it's awesome. Laura, I always appreciate you. We have so many other topics we're going to cover on so many shows. And like I told you, this is going to be a hot topic. So please, again, if you're watching this, keep asking the questions. As you can already see in the feed, it's blowing up with really difficult questions. I'm going to ask Laura to jump on and just respond to those questions and ask some tough ones too, because we can even make individual shows on them. And again, I'm just so grateful. We are getting tons and tons of feedback about specific shows, so I'm trying to line them up as fast as I can. We are booked solid for the next couple of weeks with some of the top names in dentistry. Laura, I'm going to keep having you come back. Just do it now. Don't even think about it. Go to Front Office Rocks. Check it out. Just do it. You will absolutely love it. And thank you so much, Laura. Stay on for just a second. I want to talk to you for a little bit. And if you're watching this, we're just incredibly grateful. I really appreciate it. Feel free to hit the share button. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.